You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Chip Patterson, college football writer for CBS Sports. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning, y'all. Good to be back with you. It's a busy way to start July, huh? College football always starts around this time of month, but this is kind of intense, huh?
Is this something that you saw coming? Because for a casual college football fan like myself, I did not.
No, not at all. I know that we can like spin this out. And that's the thing is, like, you can continue to, like, spin this in a lot of different directions in terms of what it means for the future and where college athletics is headed. But I did see a future where the SEC and the Big Ten separated themselves from the rest of the Power Five, creating, if not in definition, at least in practice, a different world, a different league, a different landscape. But the idea that specifically – it would be USC and UCLA reaching out to the Big Ten reportedly and then making the move to join the conference, increasing the Big Ten to 16. I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming because USC and UCLA have been such a core part of that conference, Pac-12, Pac-10, Pac-8, all the way from the beginning. I did not see UCLA splitting away from Cal Berkeley and that university system. The specific move of USC and UCLA to the Big Ten did not see coming at all, but the bigger picture, which I'm trying to convey to casuals, is that we have been working our way towards a world where the SEC and the Big Ten are just playing a different game when it comes to big-time college sports than the rest of the country.
Yeah, we kind of talked about the numbers, the financial numbers earlier, but just kind of give our listeners an idea of what the differences are between the Big Ten network, the SEC network, and some of these other conference networks, and explain the main reason why USC and UCLA are jumping.
Right. So the Pac-12 is going to be up for a new media rights deal very soon. And that's why the timing of this was actually important, because July 1 would have been a time where if USC and UCLA were to leave, even if they were leaving at the end of the deal, then they would have had to pay some penalty. By informing the Pac-12 of its decision to leave on June 30th, then now they can just play out the rest of their time in the Pac-12 according to the contracts that they've signed. When the contract is up, they get to up and move to richer pastures. Now, how richer? They are currently, according to the Pac-12 media rights deal, making about $30 million per year per school, with the Big Ten now picking up the Los Angeles market in the midst of negotiations of its new media rights deal. Some experts are estimating that that payout could be $100 million per school. I mean, that is stupid money in college athletics when you think about what the concerns that are being drawn, and I do think they're valid, about what do you do with the rest of sports? Like, what do you do when it's time for Maryland to go play UCLA, especially when it's going to be in a sport that is not going to be college football, that is not going to be as well-funded and as well-supported? Well, you know what? When you are making $70 million per year more than you were before, more than triple, well, you can figure that out later.
Yeah.
I think that the Pac-12 looked at the future and they were like, look, I just don't think that even renegotiating our media rights deal is going to bring us anywhere in the same ballpark as the Big Ten and the SEC, and we do not want to be operating at a deficit where those schools, those programs that we want to compete against, that we want to be on the same level as, are making double what we are making every single year.
Yeah, you got to pay Lincoln Riley with something, right? So
yeah, I know.
It's crazy to think about the Big Ten now, where the University of Maryland and Rutgers are a couple hours away from the Atlantic Ocean, you know, and USC and UCLA are about, I don't know, 40 minutes from the Pacific Ocean, and they're in the same conference.
Yeah, I mean, regionality.
Oh, that's
is
gone.
Gone.
Yeah, it's done.
It's. We are treating college football and high level college sports like an entertainment product. We can even see that from some of the hires that are being made. They are coming from the entertainment industry. They are coming from the professional ranks. The Big 12 just hired its new commissioner from Rock Nation. I mean, this is a new era where, like, look, there is a part of me that is a little bit sad, because I'm saying goodbye to an era where the regional rivalries, where the fact that you're going to have coworkers that also went to the same schools as your conference, that doesn't matter anymore. What really, really matters is what you are going to be able to put on television, how many eyeballs are going to be there for it, and how much ad revenue you can get. I mean, this is, like, we'll see what the Big Ten does with its new media rights deal. I know there's been some reporting of other suitors beyond just Fox who want to be a part of that. But Fox is the primary driver, and ESPN is the primary driver of the SEC. And you could argue that those two media rights entities are basically competing against each other to try to build the biggest mansion in college sports drive.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Arch Manning's decision to go to Texas had anything to do with Texas eventually being in the SEC?
Yes. There's no way that you have to there's no way that you make that decision, even though, like, there won't be, based on, you know, the timeline we're working with, where I assume that Arch Manning is not going to stay for more than 3 years, that as soon as he's eligible for the NFL draft, he will probably be in a position to make that move and go be a first round draft pick. I don't think there's going to be, like, a long, you know, SEC runway, but I do think that in terms of, you know, overall prestige, overall resources, and just the way that Steve Sarkisian has been able to build things on the recruiting trail, that all works together. You know, I don't think that if Texas is still going to be in the Big 12, I just don't think that they have as much momentum right now. They are really selling that SEC future, and I think that they're selling it not just to recruits, but they're selling it to boosters. They're selling it when they're trying to pass around the hat and get the NIL money up. And not that NIL money had anything to do No, not that NIL money was a primary driver of Arch Manning's decision. My understanding of it, actually, is he looked at the Steve Sarkisian offense that he was building, and he's like, that's a great chance for me to go and thrive. I mean, if you are a prolific dual-threat quarterback, do you want to go be quarterback for Georgia? I mean, much love to Stetson Bennett, but that's just not how they win. Yeah. And if you're looking at Alabama, I mean, how much longer is Nick Saban going to be the head coach? But Steve Sarkisian very much still in the process of building something. I think that he saw that as a real opportunity to join that building effort. And so, yeah, the SEC played a role, but there were a lot of factors that I think drove Arch Manning's decision to jump on board with Texas. And, whoa, by the way, I don't know if y'all have hit on this either recently, but the flurry of commitments since Arch committed has been amazing. I mean, that guy's basically going to win 24/7 Sports Recruiter of the Year as a high school senior, just because he's been able to get so many blue chips to follow him to Austin.
So the question is now, you know, you're having these huge brands move conferences. Who's next? What's Notre Dame do? What's the ACC going to do? Is SEC going to reach out to Clemson and Miami and say, hey, come on down, join our team? Is Duke and Carolina going to be plucked? Something's going to happen.
Right. The math essentially is that the ACC currently has its contract. I mentioned that USC and UCLA are in a contract with the Pac-12 that's going to be running up soon, and they looked at the details of that contract, and they found out the last possible date to bounce, and they were able to get out the door without paying a penalty. Right now, the contract for those ACC schools is until 2036. So having to pay out every single year until 2036, if they were to leave right now, that would be extremely expensive. However, much like a coach's buyout, it drops every single year. So the real concern for the ACC is, at what point does a university within the conference look at what the penalty is going to be versus how much money they could be making in another conference? And, you know, when does that switch, right? Like, right. I think that right now It does not make sense for Florida State or Clemson to go to the SEC, for North Carolina, Duke, or Virginia, or Georgia Tech to go to the Big Ten. I just think that that's too much money. But what about 5 years from now? And so for the ACC, the real motivating factor, in my opinion, needs to be to get a commitment or to do something to really give confidence to the rest of the membership that this is going to be a league that's going to be sustainable, and that you're not going to be in that position that USC and UCLA saw when they looked into their little crystal ball, which is that they're going to be operating with half the amount of media rights revenue every single year, dealing with a gap that is only going to grow and grow and grow and grow. And you mentioned Notre Dame,
yep,
because that is the one of the last big pieces that's out there. That's one of the last big brands that just absolutely could add a ton of value. According to the contract with the ACC, where Notre Dame is a member in all sports but football and a partial member in football, if Notre Dame were to join a league, according to the contract, then it would be the ACC at least until 2036. Mm. However, Notre Dame has the same situation that I mentioned for a Florida State, a Clemson, North Carolina, Duke, or Virginia, is that there's at some point, you know, when does the value of buying yourself out of that contract get low enough such that the money you'd be making elsewhere is worth it? I think the Big Ten is going to sit around and just, you know, have a permanent seat at the table, right? Like, you know those restaurants that say they always hold a table for a celebrity or something? Mm-hmm. Like, the Big Ten is always going to have a place for Notre Dame if Notre Dame says that they are interested and willing to come. And so for the ACC, like, people within the ACC footprint say, look, this is how we stabilize this league. We get Notre Dame to join as a full member. We add one more team to get us to 16, because the SEC is going to have 16. The Big Ten is going to have 16. If Notre Dame gets us to 16, heck, they can bring Navy along with them, right? So they can keep one of those permanent rivalries. But Notre Dame right now, they are sitting with all the leverage. They are sitting with all the power, and they can sit around and just sort of wait to see how things unfold. I think that the Fighting Irish as a university are one of the biggest power players in college sports, especially given the moves of yesterday.
Is that your best bet, though, that they go Big Ten or they go ACC?
I will be I'm scheduled to be, you know, you never know these days, but yeah. I'm scheduled to be at the ACC football kickoff, and that will honestly be my first time to at least get a better sense of the ACC side of things. So it's very hard for me to say on that one right now. So many, like, this is the other thing that's so mean. Everybody's out on vacation. This is the last time that everybody was going to get to, like, take some time away. This caught a lot of people off guard. There were so many within the Pac-12, so many within college sports that were blindsided by the news of yesterday. So I know that the Big Ten is going to make itself very attractive to Notre Dame. I think that in the immediate future, Notre Dame probably maintains its current position of being an independent in football and also having that partial membership at the ACC.
And then with the Pac-12, what does Washington do? What does Oregon do? Now that the Pac-12 is just dying, those are the two big brands now left in the conference, especially Washington in that market. What do they do?
Yeah, off the top of my head, I was like, look, I mean, because there was reporting that the Big Ten might not be done adding, but the Los Angeles Times reported late last night that, according to their sources, the Pac-12 had a meeting last night, and I've heard stories of university presidents and administrators lying to each other on these conference calls all the time. But I think that coming out of that Pac-12 conference call, it did not seem as though any other Pac-12 members would be going to the Big Ten anytime in the immediate future. But I think Washington would be a really good fit if the Big Ten wanted to continue to add a West Coast presence. I mean, that would take the idea of the national map that looks so funny when we look at it right now. And if you add a few more dots on the West Coast, then the Big Ten now all of a sudden doesn't make USC and UCLA look like such an outlier. They create some natural travel partners, make things a little bit easier on the logistical side of things. You know, there was just some offhanded talk of a Pac-12, Big 12 merger. I think a lot of that has sort of been squashed too. Right now they are reeling and trying to figure out if they can pull everyone together. I don't think the Pac-12 is going to go for an immediate retaliatory expansion, but I do think they've got to evaluate all their options. And within those universities, especially the bigger brand name ones, then, yeah, you are at least keeping the phone line open for the Big Ten or anybody else who might decide that they also want to create a West Coast presence.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the Big Ten wanted to go 18 teams and added Notre Dame and Washington? That would be nuts.
Well, I've got it at 20. I was like, if the Big Ten gets to 20, they don't need to play anyone else. But that is college football.
That's right.
They just like, they could have their own playoff, and they have their own 14 playoff, and then maybe they just send their champion out to play the SEC champion, and it's like the NFL, the AFL. We'll have the original Super Bowl, and everyone else is just playing an entirely different sport. But that's, you know, again,
it's coming to.
And then, I threw this out earlier, Chip. The Rose Bowl, can you imagine the role? Let's just say USC doesn't make the playoff, right? And but they win the conference and they play in the Rose Bowl against Oregon in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. It's a Pac-12, Pac-12.
Right.
Crazy. I think that it's very possible that we are heading to a world where the SEC and the Big Ten are not really concerned about non-conference regular season games, or, you know, how concerned they are about bowl games might very much be up to, you know, the television side of this, and whether or not they do want to continue to fill up the Christmas calendar. I tend to think that they will, but, you know, the idea that they are going to be playing anything close to the same sport, especially if the Big Ten and the SEC are up to 16, 18, 20 teams and not even playing non-conference games, then it's going to make the rest of college football feel like FCS.
All right, Chip, appreciate the time, the insight. It's Chip Patterson, college football writer for CBS Sports. Thanks, pal.
Have a good weekend.
Buddy. Yeah,
it
sounds good. Y'all be well.
Yeah, man.
Drabby, I see you just so disheartened. I was next to Drabby at the urinal in the bathroom, and he was still just down and grumpy, and he's like in zombie mode.
You're going to have a national championship game and not let Clemson play?
Yeah, I mean.
Stupid. I saw you perked up by it. You're intrigued.
I just laughed because SEC. I'm the way John is. I don't care anymore. I don't have
he
the
enjoys
passion.
Your He's, misery.
Yeah. No, it's like the live golf thing. It's like kind of screwed up the PGA Tour, but to me, I kind of like the disruption and the energy around it. It's kind of interesting to me. I don't know. Makes it a little bit interesting to me anyway. But yeah, I've given up.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, life's more important.
I don't know how to hurt your feelings. What's going to hurt you?
It's hard to hurt me. My kids, my family. As you get older and as your daughters are, you'll care less. You'll realize that the world doesn't revolve around the Pac-12.
My world doesn't revolve around the Pac-12.
Well, it does today. You walk around like a zombie.
On Saturdays at 8 p.m. it does.
Look, the Pac-12 makes Drab happy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have something that's taking happiness away from Drab. So obviously he's going to be sad.
I don't know.
I get it.
Maybe they'll do something to Augusta and ruin that.
They
had Dude Perfect playing foot golf on it or whatever.
Well, they already did that.
I know. That pissed me off.
Or they changed the Masters music. They rebooted it.
Well, that would be destroyed.
They remixed it.
If they took away the Masters
right,
music.
Like Diplo or somebody did it. Marshmello or somebody
does. But I think I would get over it. But it would upset me.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Masters is no longer it's a mixed doubles tournament or something.
Right. It's not even in Augusta every year.
It's a scramble.
Captain's Choice.
The Masters scramble.
I just see you. You look so forlorn and just down and out.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
He'll get over it. I'm the same way because the things I can't control, I can't let it affect me
by any stretch. And like I say, I'm still pissed. What are the Seahawks in the NFC? The Astros are American League team.
Yeah, that still pissed you off?
Here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's annoying.
So that has affected you, but this
well,
doesn't.
Well, I mean,
I want the Cardinals in the NFC East?
Yeah, I just quit. I mean, I don't even know who's in what conference anymore.
Skins going to Commanders, that affected you.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Look, that's something that affects you.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
Right,
so
that's your Pac-12.
Yeah. But I'm just going to complain about it. I'll just keep complaining.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.